Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Jonathan Beskin is a serial entrepreneur and digital ad expert. He's been honored by the Inc. 5000 list numerous times. He is the author of The Least Likely Millionaire, How to Succeed When Everyone Expects You to Fail. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Well, I live in Boca Raton, Florida. I am a single dad to a 14-year-old son. And I think what's most notable is that about 7 years ago, I started my first company called Single Swags. This is the first and kind of largest now subscription box company marketed towards single women. That company is a top 200 Inc. 5000 company. We're on the list of fastest growing companies in America twice. Top 10 in growth in Florida. And what really drove that revenue growth was digital advertising, particularly on Facebook and Instagram. I really started the business when I had no money, when I had no expertise or resources, and scaled it on my own pretty much to over $60 million in revenue in under 5 years. I did a lot of that actually while I had a full-time job in financial services. I kind of had about a 10-year professional corporate career prior to starting this business. I have an MBA from FAU here in South Florida, and I look forward to answering more questions about all that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. So how to succeed when no one expects you to, when everyone expects you to fail? Everyone?
Yeah, well, I think for me, it really felt like everyone at different points in my life. And, it's kind of a blessing and a curse because I think I'm very motivated by proving people wrong. And I think people, it's kind of proverbial, just people in quotes. There are some specific events throughout my life, which I talk about in the book, The Least Like a Millionaire. And the subtitle is How to Succeed When Everyone Expects You to Fail. That were pivotal, not only in my childhood and my upbringing. I also was hospitalized for mental illness as an adolescent and twice as an adult, and faced a lot of adversity. And even when I was starting my company, there were a lot of individuals who had some professional success that were entrepreneurs that told me all the reasons why this idea would never work, that I'm a straight single guy. What do I know about single women? What do I know about a subscription box, an e-commerce business? I needed to raise money, which I never did, to kind of scale a business. So really, I was told all the reasons why I would never succeed, why this specific business would never get off the ground. And in a lot of ways, it was emotionally draining. A lot of the kind of toxic energy around that made me want to quit. And there were times while I was scaling the business that I was very close to quitting and that I was sad and I thought my life was never going to change. But fortunately, I stuck with it. I kind of trusted my gut and my intuition, and it's really been a life-changing business and for myself and my family.
I am somebody who I have a deep appreciation for having a chip on one shoulder, as I always have had one also. I have identified limiting beliefs that I've had in the past, though I've never, I don't think I've ever struggled necessarily with mental health, although I think we all probably do a little bit. How close did you come to actually quitting?
Very close. You know, I remember one conversation in particular that there was an individual, and I do talk about this in kind of detail in the book, that had a similar business. So they had a subscription box company. This was around the time I was starting mine. I had like maybe 500 to 700 subscribers in my business at the time. So I still wouldn't say it was a super serious business like it eventually became. Just to put in perspective, at the peak of the business, we were shipping out over 50,000 boxes a month, and we shipped over 2 million boxes to over 300,000 customers at this point. But at that time, that individual had a giant company to me in my kind of limited knowledge, limited experience. And they basically laughed at my idea, told me it wasn't going to work. And that was probably the point where, and told me the specific reasons why was that I couldn't do it without raising money, so that I should be focused on raising money and bringing in the type of smart money that would help me scale the business, that would bring in the professional expertise and the sophistication, and also potentially bring in a woman, because as a guy, I wouldn't be able to scale a business focusing on women. And when I had the idea for this business, I was single at the time. I was kind of thinking about these recurring revenue model companies because that was part of the curriculum I studied in business school, and I had the idea for both men and women. When I did some research, the consumers for this type of product at the time were primarily women. So that's why I kind of made the decision to focus on women. And I came very close. I wanted to give up, and I really thought that my life was going to change. But, you know, something kept me going, and I'm not sure that I can articulate exactly what that was, other than this kind of burning desire to change my life. And that's what I was really destined to do. I'm convinced that, you know, millions of individuals could have had the same idea and not been able to scale it. You know, the attractive thing about the business I started is that there's really very low barriers to entry. So anyone can start this type of company. So it's an e-commerce business. There's really not a lot of overhead. I started with under $2,000 and grew it to $60 million in under 5 years. And I think a lot of other people could do that. I think really the challenge is scale. So there's hundreds of thousands of businesses out there that become hobby businesses or things that people do out of their home or their garage that don't really become a serious situation. And fortunately, mine did. And a lot of that was based on a lot of hard work and sacrifice that I made personally.
You said that your son is 14. You started your business 7 years ago. Do you think that you would have stuck it out if he hadn't been in the picture?
That's a good question. I haven't been asked that before. So I think, you know, having a kid is definitely a motivator. And, you know, really, you're not just doing it for yourself. I think in some ways, I may have... You know, scaled in a different way or done, you know, gone about my life differently. It's hard to like say if he was in the picture, how my life would have played out, what different events. Part of it was that I had the idea because I was sitting at home alone one night and other people, and because I had my son at home and I couldn't go out, and he's like at a really young age at the time, and other people are posting on social media, and I was kind of a little bit sad and lonely at the time. So I think from that perspective, it probably wouldn't have ever happened, or this particular, maybe it would have been another business, but who knows? I think it's really hard to have a repeat success. I think, you know, to create a brand from nothing and turn it into a brand that people recognize with millions of followers on social media and some Inc. 5000, you know, recognition or type growth, it's hard to repeat that. I mean, people who do that multiple times, like true serial entrepreneurs, are pretty amazing from my perspective. So I feel fortunate. And I think really in general, everything in my life that has happened. I mean, getting married, getting divorced, having a kid, facing the adversity I face as a kid, having some father who did some really nasty things to me and my mom when I was growing up. You know, if I didn't experience all of that, I wouldn't have done what I did. Like it all kind of led to that kind of culmination in my mind. So I think that, and you know, I wouldn't say it's positive because a lot of this stuff is very negative that I wouldn't want my son to go through some of these same things I went through. But it kind of built the person that I eventually became.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, right? Certainly some of those experiences you just listed out, you wouldn't wish upon anyone. Yet it's certainly played an important role, or you wouldn't have arrived here any other way. So it's an interesting thing. So here you are now. You've now written a book, you've started these different businesses, you've had all this success. Do you still have this chip on your shoulder? Is it bigger? Is it smaller?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I definitely still do. And I wouldn't really say it's necessarily bigger. I would say it's similar and it's still there. And I think the challenge is, I mean, how do you, you know, it's not like I could flip a switch and turn that off. And I think that in an ideal situation, I would be able to move on from a lot of these, you know, being this kind of insecure kid who was made fun of when I was younger and who grew up in a rich area that people kind of thought might have lived in a trailer park or something like that. So I, you know, it's not easy to kind of shake that. And I wish it was, because the challenge is that it's like, even though you've proved yourself to people, there's a constant need to continue to do that. And that's also challenging. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of keep that up and have put pressure. You know, I already feel like I have enough pressure on myself to keep the business going, you know, with my son, with anything else. So I put this extra pressure on myself about, you know, continuing to prove people wrong that ultimately are pretty insignificant in my life at this point, and definitely are familiar with some of the things I've achieved and that type of thing. So it's still there. In a lot of ways, I wish it wasn't, but I think it's just part of my being. I think that one thing that I also talk about in the book is the whole concept of using some of these things like debilitating anxiety and depression and racing thoughts, catastrophization, and thinking a certain way and channeling that thought process into something positive. So taking all the energy with anxiety into thinking about your business from every angle, preempting what your competitors are doing, just using those types of things that are perceived as negative in a way that could benefit you and benefit your life, and kind of not looking at it as toxic. Because I think for the most part, when people have these things like anxiety, even if you know, unless you're like fully medicated and like completely out of time, I mean, it's hard to control them. I mean, it's not something that goes away. It's kind of like a disease. I mean, it's not something that like easily is solvable. So if you're going to have it and you know it's not going away, why not try to use it to your advantage?
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And Do you feel that that's a skill like any other, meaning that you need to learn it and then you can get way better at it?
Yeah, I think that, I think you need to, in a way, it's like retraining your brain to, you know, how to process things. And not, you know, a lot of people, I think, or at least me, and I think I've spoken to a lot of people that feel this way, I mean, get mad at themselves for thinking this way or kind of get overwhelmed or different thing. But if you can really, you know, kind of teach yourself or constantly remind yourself and that, you know, you can really use this to your advantage, that you can, you know, take these racing thoughts and think about things that'll, you know, benefit you. So you're not going down those really toxic rabbit holes that don't lead to anything positive and you make a lot of assumptions. I mean, I could, like, you know, just give like a kind of simple example I just thought of, like if you, you know, if my son, who's a very big athlete, like has an injury to his finger or something like that, and he has to be out for a few weeks, well, then you're already assuming he's never going to play college sports. He's going to be done. He then kids get injured all the time. So it's like, you know, not everything. When you have an intense amount of anxiety, it's very easy to just quickly go down these rabbit holes and it quickly catastrophize everything. And I think there are ways to retrain your brain to, you know, not allow that to happen and to focus those thoughts on something more positive, like a business, like achieving goals, like weight loss or eating healthier, you know, things of that nature. Before I had this business, I was a serious marathon runner, and I applied a lot of the same principles involving discipline and sacrifice and, you know, these thought processes into that at that time.
I appreciate that very much. So what are you hoping that people are going to get when they get out of when they read The Least Likely Millionaire?
Well, I hope that they get some inspiration. And I hope that it motivates them. I think that a lot of people feel stuck in their current work environment, in their current familial environment. And that, you know, they kind of hear from my story that, you know, that first of all, that's very common to feel that way, and that there are things you can do to get out of that and get out of that kind of funk. And the book includes it, you know, it, a lot of it is my story and how I kind of grew up, some specific thing that happened. But there's a lot of key takeaways, and there's definitely quite a few actionable steps that people can take to really change their life in meaningful ways. And some of them are what I was talking about around healthy obsessions, which is kind of what I call, you know, retraining your brain to obsess. If you're going to obsess in general, why not obsess on something positive that's healthy, that's going to benefit you in some way? So there's also a lot of tips and resources on how to get something off the ground. And yeah, there's really not a lot of negative consequences to trying something and kind of learning from it and starting off as a side hustle. So I'm excited about the book. I've gotten a lot of good feedback and some really high quality, unbiased reviews. And you know, I'm excited to get into people's hands very soon.
Yeah, excellent. Talking about different things that we struggle with, mistakes that we've made, is not an easy thing. Is it now easy for you? And when did you start talking and telling people the things you've struggled with?
Well, it's definitely not easy. And writing this book was definitely very emotional and brought a lot back. And I think I, you know, particularly as it relates to some of the mental illness things that I talk about in the book, which also includes when one of the times I was hospitalized as an adult, having electro kind of convulsive therapy for severe depression. I think that a lot of people who know me personally would be very surprised to hear that. I think I've been good for a lot of my life about Putting up a front or a mask and feeling horrible on the inside and really struggling on the inside. So I think it's a very vulnerable kind of situation, and I'm very transparent about a lot of things. But I think the more people I've spoken to about this, and as I've been talking about it more, you know, conjunction with releasing the book, I mean, a lot of people relate to that, particularly as it relates to mental illness and anxiety and depression, whether, you know, they've had something as serious as being hospitalized, or more likely they just struggle with this on a daily basis and kind of with the normal stress that's associated with like everyday life. So I'm really hoping that aspect can help people too, and being willing to share something like that, that I just think a lot of people aren't willing to talk about.
Well, I commend you for it. And I'm grateful that you did it and that you had the courage to do it and that you continue to have the courage to talk about it, because there are so many people that are struggling with it. And to see somebody who has experienced the kind of unique success that you have and the experiences that you've had, and that's really oftentimes what we need as human beings, is to be able to look and see, oh, look at Jonathan. He's just a regular guy who's done extraordinary things, and he struggled with a lot of the things that I have. So perhaps I can do that also. I think that that's a really, really cool thing. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I hope more people will have the opportunity to kind of hear the story. And I'm excited to do more things like this and get it out there as much as I can.
I love it. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? And where can they get their copy of The Least Likely Millionaire, How to Succeed When Everyone Expects You to Fail?
There's a few ways to connect with me. I have a website. It's a jonathanbeskin.com. It's JonathanBeskin, B like boy, ESKIN.com. I also, I have an Instagram account at J Beskin, my last name Beskin. And, this is very embarrassing, for my 14-year-old son, but kind of a TikTok account that's gone somewhat viral. So I have about 45,000 followers on there. I'm somewhat regularly putting out content and about entrepreneurial topics, my story, things that could potentially help. So at TikTok at Jonathan Beskin.
Excellent. Well, I certainly can't wait to embarrass the heck out of my boys. They're 6 and 3, so I've got a couple of years before they start feeling that way, but I look forward to it. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jonathan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jonathanbeskin.com. It's JonathanBeskin.com. Find him on Instagram at JBeskin and TikTok at Jonathan Beskin. And then pick up your copy of The Least Likely Millionaire wherever you buy your books. And I'll link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.